WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump says he's made deals with China after meeting with leader Xi Jinping on the final day of the Asia trip. The agreement would lower tariffs implemented earlier this year on China over fentanyl. China will also suspend export controls on rare earth minerals that are used to power everything from cell phones to electric cars. ABC's Rachel Scott's traveling with the president.
One thing that was notable, the president said that this deal is in place for the next year, so it will require these two leaders to remain in close contact and communication. The president says he plans to travel to China in April and that President Xi could come to the United States sometime soon.
Republican Senate leader John Thune blocking a Democratic bill to carve out funding for federal food assistance during the government shutdown. He says the government needs to reopen now, 30 days after it was shut down at the beginning of the month. The Toronto Blue Jays taking a 3-2 lead in the World Series with their win last night over the Dodgers' next game in Toronto tomorrow night. This is ABC News.
You're listening to WISS, the Fox Valley's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Big news from the Taylor Sheridan universe. The Yellowstone creator is leaving Home, which is Paramount Plus, and migrating to NBC. In addition to Yellowstone and its many spinoffs, Sheridan has also created Lawman Bass Reeves, Tulsa King, The Mayor of Kingstown, and Lioness, just to name a few. His material will stay at Paramount Plus until his deal is up in 2028, but he can start working for NBC Universal in 2026 with a new screenplay that is headed for production. The Texas native has also written movies like Sicario, High Water, and wrote and directed 2017's Wind River, which starred Jeremy Renner and Elizabeth Olsen. According to The Hollywood Reporter, this is a big blow to Paramount, but they still have TV juggernauts Stranger Things and South Park. Maybe the only two other shows on TV Sheridan didn't create. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Packers prepare for the Panthers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers host the Carolina Panthers Sunday at noon. Green Bay will wear their 1923 throwback jerseys. Jordan Love named the NFC Offensive Player of the Week for his performance against the Steelers. College hoops, the Wisconsin Badgers over the UW-Platteville Pioneers, 69-53 in a charity exhibition. The Badgers getting off to a slow start, shooting, giving up turnovers. Greg Gard.
Yeah, the turnovers will break down, but I was happy with how we turned up the defensive pressure late in the first half.
The Bucks at home for a big one against Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors tonight. Baseball, the Minnesota Twins have hired Derek Shelton as their new manager. Shelton had been the bench coach there before taking over as the Pirates manager 5 years ago. The Blue Jays winning Game 5 of the World Series, 6-1. Game 6 tomorrow night in Toronto. The Blue Jays lead the Dodgers 3-2. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Immigrants seeking naturalization as U.S. citizens will now need to answer twice as many questions correctly as before the Trump administration. Can I pass it? Find out. Join us next time.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
From Oshkosh City Hall to Madison, stay informed with the Civic Media Radio Network's news team. Real news, great conversation.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to 52 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy. We're going to drop into the upper 30s to low 40s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a few off and on showers at a high right around 51. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, Heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Dr. Kristen Lierley.
She's a chef, a bartender, and a state rep, calling herself the wild card in Wisconsin's governor race. Meet Francesca Hong.
The Dr. Kristen Lierley Show, Saturdays and Sundays at noon.
Man, it is a frenetic pace in Indianapolis, Indiana. The 98th National FFA Convention well underway. And we've got all the details that relate to Wisconsin FFA members coming your way. How you doing, everybody? Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Yeah, Jill Welke from our team has been in Indianapolis all week long. We're going to catch up with the president of the National FFA Officer Team, young man from Illinois, and find out what that experience feels like through his eyes as he gets ready to retire. We've got 10 Wisconsin national finalists still involved in proficiency award judging and evaluation. In fact, one of our Wisconsinites has to juggle a very interesting schedule. Tyler Luke from Wisconsin was traveling from Iowa State, where he's going to school, to Indianapolis. He'll compete today and then quickly jump on a plane this afternoon to get back to Iowa State for a calculus test on campus Friday morning. These kids got a lot of things going on. Anyhow, that's part of the story that we're bringing to you on a Thursday morning. Also catching up with Zach Bowers. He's one of the dairy analysts with EverEgg. 28 days now and counting, the federal government has been shut down. And we're hearing little trickles of information. Three cargo loads of U.S. soybeans bound for China. Delivery somewhere between December and January, but it's not really inspiring the marketplace. We're going to find out what Zach sees developing this morning as far as the dairy complex. Stick around for that. Weather-wise, you stick around. Stu Muck's got our ag weather forecast in a moment. Today, it looks like we've got sunshine on the way, 53. Tomorrow, sunshine, 52. Saturday, 20% chance of showers in the morning, otherwise partly sunny, and 49 degrees.
Hey, everybody, calm down. It's okay.
Oh, it's coming. The farm animals can always feel it.
Is that an earthquake? I didn't think those happened in the heartland. Aren't we harvesting Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans today?
It's not an earthquake. It's the aftershock of unleashing Z-Series soybeans.
You did mention a yield advantage of nearly 4 bushels an acre.
Plant Z-Series soybeans in the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/greatest yields.
I'll tell you what, the old world flavors and recipes just keep folks coming back at Bavaria Sausage, and they're sharing the story beyond Wisconsin's borders. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke encouraging you to check out Bavaria Sausage's newly revised website. Talk about ease of shopping all in one place. Go to BavariaSausage.com. All those flavors you're looking for in the Landjagers, the Brats, the Summer Sausage, all right there. Plus, great gift boxes with that Wisconsin flair. And if you're looking for the German accent of the holidays, of course, BavariaSausage.com has it. If you're a little bit rushed with a hectic life, Bavaria Sausage understands that as well. Take a look at their in-store restaurant quality individual packaged meats, from chicken wings and breasts right on through to pork chops, tenderloins, and burger patties. It's just part of what Bavaria Sausage does and does well. Check it out online now, BavariaSausage.com.
It's been a challenging fall for Wisconsin's potato growers from both a market and weather standpoint. I'm Stephanie Hoff from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, checking in with Awesome Farms out of Friesland. Farm manager Ryan Walther says prolonged heat has delayed harvest across much of the upper Midwest, and this has forced farmers to work through the night to protect their crops, only to face the threat of frost weeks later.
I think a lot of folks north of us are starting to wrap up or getting very close to being wrapped up. All the heat that we've had this year put a lot of folks later than they'd like to be. Really, really slow potato harvest. To anybody I've talked to in the state or neighboring states, Michigan, Minnesota, it's just very, very slow.
Well, and your harvest window's long anyway, because don't you start in August and then go all the way through to October?
Correct. So I would say we're a few weeks behind, but the storage crop is what's behind. What's being dug off the field, again, was a normal start. And actually, with all the heat we had this summer, was on time or maybe even a touch ahead, but just yeah, again, this heat's difficult to put potatoes way in.
What do you mean when you say storage potatoes versus what other kinds?
Here at Allsum's, or again, a lot of folks across the state of Wisconsin, we will ship the potatoes directly out of the field to whether it be a processing plant or to a packing shed or wherever that may be, or we'll put them in storage bins and hold them from anywhere from a few weeks to August the next year. Yeah, there's a few different options. And again, for storage potatoes, it's extremely important that you do it in the correct temperatures. If you put them away hot, there's a lot of risk involved with that, between the potatoes rotting in the storage or the quality being poor.
Ryan, what do you have to do when we had temperatures in the 80s, for example, in mid-October? How does that change the harvest process or procedure?
Folks across the state that I talked to were starting up at midnight, 1 o'clock, 2 in the morning to try and harvest as little as you can in the heat and shut down during the peak hours of the day, which can be a challenge with all the equipment, all the trucks on the road. It's definitely more of a challenge. And again, just most of the time it's shorter run time than what you could get starting at 6 a.m. and going till 8 p.m. So that's about the only thing you can do to mitigate that.
Does that mean that you're happier with the temperatures we're now seeing in the forecast?
To an extent, you know, there is some frost freeze risk here. I know it was, I think, right around 32, 33 this morning here, and looks like we have a few more nights of that. So aside from that, yeah, this is much, much better. This heat has pushed us now into where we're late enough that it's extremely uncomfortable that a freeze could come in and freeze the potatoes in the ground. So
what's the implication of a frozen potato?
They will rot if they freeze, and they'll have blemishes. They're pretty much unmarketable. So, and again, if you do put some frozen ones in with good potatoes, you run a very heavy risk of having rot in your storage bins.
We miss those crop progress and condition reports that we typically have gotten from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Potatoes were on that report. Obviously, the government shut down and we're not getting those. Are you missing anything from, you know, any federal government resources this time of year that you've had to do without?
Those reports would be nice. Again, it helps us, at least gives us a little better idea to judge by how much everybody else is pushing, and helps keep you in check on are we being too aggressive or not aggressive enough. So that is missed. And there's been a few things with some well reporting that have been difficult to do right now, but those would be the biggest ones right now for us.
What's well reporting?
We're measuring the depth of all of the wells around this area just to, again, confirm that water table is good, that we're not having a negative impact on it. And like I said, with the shutdown, it is tough to relay some of that information.
Speaking of the progress and condition report, Ryan, you mentioned progress. You're a little behind where you'd like to be. What about condition of those spuds this year? How do you feel about yield and quality despite some of the challenges with heat?
I would say that we're, for yield-wise, it's been a okay year, not great, not bad. Some of the heat throughout the summer and then all the rainfall did negatively affect the crop a little bit, but things look, like I said, okay, it's not a bumper crop, but it's not, yeah, not a bad crop by any means.
Does that crop have somewhere to go? What does the market condition look like for potatoes this year?
I would say that the market condition looks pretty, it's a tough outlook right now. You know, I think it's similar to most commodities out there. It is not looking great. Prices aren't great. A lot of supply, so it's kind of tough. This year, again, I think similar to what most farmers are facing, it's not fantastic right now.
You mentioned supply. Is that where you're pinpointing it at? Or what about the demand side?
There is some demand issues, and I would say some of the chip stock demand is down, which those acres can be converted over to table stock or some of these other things, which helps bump the supply up. And then some of these areas, western areas, you know, the Idaho, Oregon, Washington, that are the major producers of potatoes in the U.S. Just, and again, I don't know if it's all from exports or overplanting, maybe a touch as well, but there's a lot of supply, and a lot of those folks are, you know, they're, even some of their small stuff bees that are the really tiny few ounce potatoes are actually being dumped, that I've heard, just because there's not a market for it right now. And the markets that are out there for them are just, again, it's such a low cost or low profit situation that a lot of the time you're going to be cost effective to dump it, especially if you're not in an ideal freight area. I know there's potatoes coming from Idaho that are cost competitive to what we're putting out in Wisconsin, which, you know, says how low they're willing to go to sell the product. So again, it's very competitive, very tight right now.
Well, Ryan, I appreciate you telling the story for us of what's happening in the food supply chain today. Anything else I should be asking you about potatoes that we did not talk about?
Fingers are crossed that, just like I said, I think what all farmers are thinking right now, that things start to take a turn here for the better on pricing, demand, everything. Exports go up. It's just tough. Unfortunately, here at Alsem Farms, we're in a good position, but especially some of these smaller farms, you know, you hate to see them get in a bad place, because it can be hard to weather these storms of the extremely low pricing. So yeah, we need a turn.
As farmers race against the weather to wrap up the potato harvest, only to face low market prices, Alsem Farms manager Ryan Wather says Wisconsin's potato growers are working hard to deliver a high-quality crop. You can help support them right at the grocery store. Just look for Wisconsin-grown potatoes. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matt Nair on Air.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Air pollution leads to higher rates of breast cancer, according to a new study from researchers in Oregon. They found women living in areas with heavy emissions from cars and trucks are more likely to develop breast cancer. The Trump administration recently rescinded EPA rules meant to reduce vehicle emissions. Wisconsin's small farming communities bracing for the end of federal food share benefits. Not only do thousands of rural residents rely on federal food assistance, about $120 million of Wisconsin's food share benefits are spent at local farmers' markets. Bragging rights for Wisconsin apples, an organic orchard in Washington County named one of the top 10 apple orchards in the country by USA Today. Peck and Bushel Fruit Company in Colgate is the largest organic apple orchard in the upper Midwest. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Right up there on the list of stupid. The president of the United States decided to lay off 1,000 people or so at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Dr. Kristen Lierley.
They weren't laid off strategically. They were laid off haphazardly. J.D. Vance himself admitted that it's chaotic.
Nothing screams competent government like laying off the people who respond to Ebola.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Finally, a voice for real news and great conversation in the Fox Valley, WISS.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4:20, I'll be joined by Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call. We discuss his lawsuit joining with numerous other attorneys general to restore SNAP funding and make sure Americans don't go hungry.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of the Todd Allball Show.
Today he's got his three oldest kids down at the National FFA Convention. He says, I'm working shorthanded on the farm, but he said it's the first CDE that St. Charles, Minnesota had going to the national. So he's pretty proud that the kids are state champion dairy cattle judges, and he'll work a little short until they return, probably sometime, I'm guessing, Friday, if they step on it. So,
well, that's fantastic. Congratulations. Hope they do well.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. Today's a big day. We'll be talking about it a little bit later in the show. About today is the day where we find out how our 10 national finalists in their various proficiency categories end up doing against the rest of the national competition. So big day down in Indianapolis. Big day right around here. I'm also chatting with Connie from Valders. She said one of her students worked until 4 in the morning yesterday, didn't go to bed to try to keep spread manure and emptying the pits. That's been one of the nice things about this dry weather is our manure management plans are not being derailed this year.
No, there's a lot of that being hauled around everywhere. I think it's a great time. We're making good progress, and we'll continue to do that as Mother Nature doesn't want to slow us down right now. There's a, call it an Alberta Clipper, a little fast-moving system out of Canada with a front down in the western Dakotas this morning, and there is some rain in eastern North Dakota down into south-central South Dakota. Could be a couple of snowflakes mixed in there. Yeah, it's that time. You know, here we are at the end of October, and we shouldn't be too surprised. Late Friday night, early Saturday, northern Wisconsin, a couple of stray snowflakes may mix in with a little light rain chance there. Nothing that's going to accumulate, just that it could be happening, because I expect that weak boundary is going to build in and there will be a chance of rain. Northern Wisconsin, even later Friday afternoon, overnight or into early Saturday at the latest in the south, and it's not going to amount to much, probably not stopping us from working. Very light rain is what we're talking about at most. But with cloudy skies leading up to that, we do start to cool off a little bit. And in fact, temperatures will be cooler than normal as we head towards Saturday. Only in the 40s anywhere in Wisconsin. A cool day, no doubt. Some sunshine finally will return. We try to warm it up a little bit on towards Sunday and Monday. That sounds nice. Early November, we're going to talk about upper 50s. There may be a 60 as we head on into next week, so some mild air will return. I'll return with the forecast after this.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers.
Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick, how did you...
Dropping in to check on your crop, Bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy.
From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Everything you've heard is true. Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans are bringing you the next era of soybean performance. Believe the hype. With a generational leap in genetics, Z-Series is redefining what's possible. Ride the wave. Z-Series soybeans have unleashed unprecedented yield potential and delivered maximum return on investment. Plant Z-Series soybeans in the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/greatest yields.
All righty, give me your greatest forecast for today into tomorrow, Stu.
All right, well, let's start with some fog and a dense fog advisory. Eau Claire and North Tomahawk and North up in that north central northwest part of the state. The dense fog, a little freezing fog in some of those areas too. More clouds in the north, some sun in the southeast today, and temps just into the low 50s almost everywhere. The north winds about 5, mostly cloudy overnight. We drop back into the low and mid 30s with the northwest winds at 5. Somewhat of a partly sunny day Friday, but I'd expect some rain may try to sneak in the northwest already later in the day. Low 50s, upper 40s with the west winds at 5 to 10. That light rain possibility Friday night may linger into Saturday in the south. Partly sunny skies try breaking out then, Pam. Mid and upper 40s at best on Saturday. Back toward the low 50s on Sunday. And next week, like I said, could warm up pretty nicely.
Yeah, and like we're always keeping our eye on the potential moisture. I'm hoping that with those temperatures you're talking about up north, it's not going to be the snowy kind.
And a couple of flakes may mix in, but that's it.
All right, bud. Thanks. Catch up with you tomorrow.
All right, see you then.
Stumacher, ag meteorologist with the weather details that you're looking for. Again, don't forget about that online FFA foundation auction, too, helping folks out. You can go to auctionsbyobrien.com. Still participate in that. Yeah, we're all FFA this week, that is for sure. And we've got more exciting details coming from the National Convention in Indianapolis. That's on the way your Thursday morning.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
A new choice. The Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. WISS.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent interview with State Senator Jody Hebbish-Sinkin on the Maggie Dawn Show.
I introduced the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Reauthorization Bill, which we've been working on for months, building community with stakeholders, with organizations around the state and other legislators across the aisle, because it is a program that is singularly popular in Wisconsin. It has a recent statewide poll has it as over 90% favorable, which in these days and times is, I can't think of anything that's comparable to that level of popularity. And unfortunately, it did not get funded in the budget that passed this early July. So it was something that we really wanted to make sure would move forward. And we introduced a bill because the Republican bill that was introduced, while in good faith, has a particular oversight mechanism which would make the program impractical and not be able to serve its function.
What's this obstacle that you spoke of, this oversight mechanism that you believe makes the Republican funding bill of the Knowles Nelson program untenable?
Essentially, the Republican bill that was introduced, again, with good intention, because remember, not one single Republican voted to reauthorize the program during the budget process. So these two Republicans, Representative Kurtz and Senator Teston, introduced a bill to try to also save the program. But what it includes is an oversight mechanism, just a fancy word for how land acquisitions will be reviewed, that would be fundamentally impractical or not workable. It would require certain land acquisitions to go through the entirety of the legislative process, through the Assembly, through the Senate, all its committees and working groups, and ultimately the governor. Sometimes that could take up to a year and a half, 2 years, or get tied up and never happen.
And
that oversight mechanism is what we have worked on in our bill to replace with something that is transparent and accountable. It would be with a Knowles Nelson stewardship board that would include representatives from both parties, from both the Senate, the Assembly, the DNR, the Natural Resources Conservation Organization, the tribes, just a wonderful mix of citizens. That is really what this type of oversight should be all about anyway, something that's open, transparent, that the public can watch carefully.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump says he's made deals with China after meeting with leader Xi Jinping on the final day of the Asia trip. The agreement would lower tariffs implemented earlier this year on China over fentanyl. China will also suspend export controls on rare earth minerals that are used to power everything from cell phones to electric cars. ABC's Rachel Scott's traveling with the president.
One thing that was notable, the president said that this deal is in place for the next year, so it will require these two leaders to remain in close contact and communication. The president says he plans to travel to China in April and that President Xi could come to the United States sometime soon.
Republican Senate leader John Thune blocking a Democratic bill to carve out funding for federal food assistance during the government shutdown. He says the government needs to reopen now, 30 days after it was shut down at the beginning of the month. The Toronto Blue Jays taking a 3-2 lead in the World Series with their win last night over the Dodgers. Next game in Toronto tomorrow night. This is ABC News.
The Packers prepare for the Panthers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers host the Carolina Panthers Sunday at noon. Green Bay will wear their 1923 throwback jerseys. Jordan Love named the NFC Offensive Player of the Week for his performance against the Steelers. College hoops, the Wisconsin Badgers over the UW-Platteville Pioneers, 69-53 in a charity exhibition. The Badgers getting off to a slow start, shooting, giving up turnovers. Greg Gard.
Yeah, the turnovers will break down, but I was happy with how we turned up the defensive pressure late in the first half.
The Bucks at home for a big one against Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors tonight. Baseball, the Minnesota Twins have hired Derek Shelton as their new manager. Shelton had been the bench coach there before taking over as the Pirates manager 5 years ago. The Blue Jays winning Game 5 of the World Series, 6-1. Game 6 tomorrow night in Toronto. The Blue Jays lead the Dodgers 3-2. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, if only our cattle producers knew as much about cattle as that famous rancher Donald Trump. We talk to Wisconsin farmer Hans Breitenmoser about Argentinian beef.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Don't miss any of the stories that impact your life. Catch WISS's News Roundup in podcast form. Go to WISS.FM to subscribe.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to 52 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy. We're going to drop into the upper 30s to low 40s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a few off and on showers at a high right around 51. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent Mornings with Pat Crilo interview with Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Executive Director Sheila Everhart.
You attached as well a proclamation from the governor's office proclaiming that this is going to be Wisconsin agricultural tourism fall season. And essentially, Sheila, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's basically saying, look, there's all the usual places you could go on a weekend road trip around Wisconsin, but consider expanding your horizons and looking for opportunities to engage in agricultural tourism, right?
Yes, we're so proud. September 11th through November 2nd is Wisconsin's agricultural tourism fall season. Agricultural tourism is one of the fastest growing segments in both agriculture and tourism. It's revitalizing our rural economies, preserving farmland, allowing families to keep their farm operational for generations. But besides that, it plays a vital role in reconnecting people with agriculture. Guests want to learn where their food comes from and why stewardship of the land matters and how our farmers are essential for everyday life. So it's going to the apple orchard and getting fresh apple cider. It's going to the pumpkin patches and picking your pumpkins. It's attending a class on a farm, maybe learn to have some heritage cooking classes and maybe making some sourdough bread. It's tasting farm fresh ice cream made on a farm like Sassy Cow Creamery. It's tasting fresh cheese curds at the Phelps Dairy Farm. It's going out and experiencing life on a farm and being disconnected from your tablet. But we also have, Pat, what is really cool is the Wisconsin Maize Challenge. the Wisconsin Agricultural Maize Challenge, because we want you to get out in a cornfield and we want you to get lost, but then find your way out of that cornfield. So we're having a contest. We invite you to visit a family farm, experience a corn maze, use your navigational skills, take a picture of your visit, post it to Facebook or Instagram with the hashtag WATA Maze, W-A-T-A Maze, and then we will have weekly winners of that WATA Maze Challenge.
It comes down to that diversification where not every farmer is going to be doing, you know, any one of these things, but the ones who want to, the opportunities are there.
To subscribe and find all of Civica Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
From Oshkosh to Nina, this is 98.3 WISS.
Days and counting since the federal government shutdown. That's really created quite an information vacuum when it comes to traders. We're catching up with Zach Bowers, one of the dairy analysts with EverAg, on a Thursday morning to find out how the market's dealing with the lack of reliable information when it comes to dairy trades. Yesterday, we found out, kind of through a lot of different means, that China purchased three cargo loads of U.S. soybeans. First purchase they've made this year, about 180,000 metric ton that are going to be delivered between December and January. And you know what? This morning, the markets are not impressed. We'll get to those numbers as well. I am the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. I'm glad you're along with us on this, the 30th day of October. First, happy anniversary to singer-songwriter Clint Black, along with his actress wife, Lisa Hartman. They got married on this day in 1991, celebrating their wedding anniversary. And can you believe it? The Fonz. Now, you say that, probably some people don't even know who the Fonz is. Henry Winkler turns 80 years young today, and now you know. Wisconsin has got 10 national FFA finalists in proficiency awards, excelling in a specific area of their expertise. And today, basically all of them are going to be in competition down in Kansas City. That includes Tyler Luke. Tyler is a national finalist from Wanakee in agricultural services entrepreneurship placement, and he explains a little bit about the business model that got him there.
My proficiency application is my business, TL Clips. 5 years ago now, I started a cattle clipping and fitting business called TL Clips, where I have kind of learned how to clip cattle, how to present cattle from some of the best in the industry. And I've taken that passion and that skill that I've learned and turned it into a business opportunity for myself. So over the past couple summers and, you know, a little bit during the school year, I travel around the state of Wisconsin, helping farmers and other exhibitors prepare their animals for different levels of shows. I mean, I go all the way from county fairs all the way up to the World Dairy Expo.
Tyler Luke, young man from Wanakee, Wisconsin, who is a national finalist in agribusiness with his business focused in on clipping and trimming animals for show. Now, what's also interesting about Tyler is he's currently a student at Iowa State. So what he had to do is fly yesterday from basically Des Moines to Indianapolis, Indiana. He'll compete today, talking about his business as a national finalist, then get on a plane tonight, fly back to Des Moines because he's got a calculus exam that he's got to take at the Iowa State University campus starting on Friday. Good luck, Tyler. We'll keep you posted on all the winners from Wisconsin at the National FFA Convention. In fact, Jill Wilkie is there speaking with the National FFA president and his retiring address coming up later this week. That's on the way.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers. Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick, how did you...
Dropping in to check on your crop bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy.
From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Oh, yeah! Here we go!
Did you just plant Pioneer Brand Z-Series soybeans again?
You bet your next level genetics I did. After last year's huge yields, why wouldn't I want to maximize that Z-Series momentum?
Right. How could I forget about that performance? It totally beat our expectations. Let's unleash some Z-Series on those acres. Come on!
Now you're talking. With that kind of ROI, why would we plant anything else?
Plant Z-Series soybeans in the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/greatest yields.
Well, the markets are not impressed with the token purchase of 3 cargo loads of U.S. soybeans in the past 24 hours by China. An overnight electronic trade rolling into a Thursday morning. Right now, December corn currently 3 cents lower at 431. March corn's down 4 at 443. November soybeans are down 15 cents at 1066. January soybeans down 14 cents at 1081. July wheat, that's down 8 cents right now at 559 a bushel. Barrel cheese yesterday in Chicago was unchanged at 182. 40-pound block cheese gained a quarter of a cent at 182 and a quarter, actually 182 and a half. Double A butter was down 0.75 cents at 155 and a half per pound. The November Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is up to 1785, while December's unchanged at 1732 a hundredweight. You know, there are a lot of Wisconsin farms that are watching what's happening in Washington, D.C. for so many different reasons. Yes, they'd like the federal government to get back to business for things like supplemental nutrition assistance program, U.S. Department of Agriculture programs. But there's also a farm bill that was in the works. Wisconsin native Mike Strantz is the vice president of advocacy for the National Farmers Union. And he said, despite the stoppage in Washington, D.C., they're still trying to remain optimistic about getting a farm bill done.
Given the circumstances with the farm economy, that yes, there should be some sort of assistance provided to family farmers and ranchers because of the trade disruptions, but that ought to be part of a greater picture about farm policy reform and farm policy improvements that could happen through a farm bill negotiation that might happen here this fall. We've heard Chairman of the House Agriculture Committee, G.T. Thompson, speak about his interest in having a farm bill markup in the House side. I think moving forward with something like that is a great opportunity to make some of these changes, and we ought to take a look at the whole picture.
That's Wisconsin native Mike Strantz, vice president of advocacy for the National Farmers Union, continuing to hold out hope we'll get a farm bill done. Well, they're halfway through the excitement of the 98th National FFA Convention in Indianapolis. Our own Jill Welke is there. She caught up with the president of the National FFA Association. His name, Thad Bergschneider from Illinois. Bergschneider says the thrill of leading the blue and gold as the National FFA president has been a part of his life since the moment he learned he was leadership.
Absolutely. I mean, you saw my face on stage. I was excited then. I was in shock. My mouth was wide open. Wow, no way this is real. And I'd say the same look was on my face when I walked into that kickoff lunch today around noon. I got to see all 475 of our delegates and our staff and our national officers gathered here together. I mean, National FFA brings our family, our community, our chapters all here in one place. And that will always put that look of shock on my face.
And from that humble start to the start of this year's convention, you did have a few adventures along the way. What was the most notable for you?
So I broke my radius bone this year trying to dunk a basketball. It's a long story. It meant like a month of doctor's visits. I had to eventually get surgery. I got a plate in my arm. Then I had to go through recovery and physical therapy. I actually can show you the scar right now. I know we don't have any video, but there it is. That's young male behavior, right? Stupid young male behavior. Trying to dunk a basketball breaks an arm during a year of national office. But I truly think that that was an adventure this year because it allowed me to connect with FFA members in a unique way. The level of conversation you have is very different when it starts when talking about an injury, as you're probably thinking right now. If a conversation starts and you say, what did you do with your arm? And I tell you, this is a stupid story about me messing up. It immediately gives you the permission to share a story along the same lines. And national officers can be intimidating. I will vouch for that when I was a member trying to talk to a national officer. But having that immediate, like, vulnerability pass, I would almost call it, is like a Disney fast pass to vulnerability, opened up the greatest conversations I've ever had in a 2 or 3 month period. I got to connect with to people in a very, very different way, and it was special.
Huh, there you go. Thad Bergschneider, the National FFA president from Illinois, sharing a little insight into what his life was like behind the scenes. for the blue and gold. Remember, the FFA convention continues through Friday morning in Indianapolis, Indiana. If you want to follow along for real-time results, you can go to FFA.org. Our friend Zach Bauer joining us next from EverAg.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matt and Air on Air.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In 1944, when Franklin Roosevelt said he would run for a fourth term, discussions began on a constitutional amendment to limit a U.S. president to two terms in office. In 1951, the 22nd Amendment was ratified. Now, a Tennessee congressman wants to repeal it. Would it actually be possible for Donald Trump to be president again? January 23rd, Representative Andy Ogles introduced a joint resolution proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the United States to provide that no person shall be elected to the office of the president more than three times. While the resolution received a lot of attention, constitutional amendments require a two-thirds majority in Congress and be ratified by three-quarters of the states, neither of which is likely. Trump himself has flirted with the idea of staying in the presidency. The Hill reported Trump told GOP leaders, quote, "I suspect I won't be running again unless you do something. Unless you say, he's so good, we just have to figure it out." A recent Politico article explained another scenario where a loophole in the 22nd Amendment could allow another presidential candidate to run with Donald Trump as vice president. The new president would then step down, allowing Trump to become president again. A 1999 Minnesota Law Review article discusses this and other such vaguely legal maneuvers as well. Unlikely, yes. Out of the question, no. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
What's going on with Earl Ingram?
The No Kings rallies across this nation, they reminded me of, it was an organization called the Tea Party. Senior citizens were a part of the Tea Party. And there are a lot of senior citizens involved in the No Kings rallies.
Listen to the Civic Media exclusive podcast, What's Going On with Earl Ingram. Find the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to WISS.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Immigrants seeking naturalization as U.S. citizens will now need to answer twice as many questions correctly as before the Trump administration. Can I pass it? Find out. Join us next time.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matt and Air on Air.
With EverAg, live on the Midwest Farm Report. I want to remind you about their website. That's ever.ag. So, Zach, thanks for catching up with us. We didn't get a chance to really exchange too many notes this morning, but I'm going to guess that the information vacuum is still kind of hanging over our dairy trade. Anything new that you've noticed this week? We saw the little bit of movement as far as soybeans by China that got everybody excited and then flatlined. What's happening with dairy?
Yeah, I mean, dairy has been an interesting trade here the last couple weeks, as we've actually seen a lot of strength in the spot market for cheese and the products, especially whey. But we continue to see strength in the spot market in the front months, October, November. But you go into 2026 and we continue to not see a whole lot of activity happening. So, you know, the whole market is pretty bearish just based off the fact that, you know, we're looking at 3% milk production growth. We're looking at more new capacity. And that's kind of what everyone's focused on as we kind of fly blind here with the government closed and no new milk production or dairy products cold storage reports. So, until then, I think the market is a little bit skeptical to believe that we can actually be this 180, 190 cheese price that's actually trading out there, as well as we see, you know, European milk production numbers continue to uptick, and we continue to see their cheese prices come down as we fight for export orders. I think that we still own the export market, but come, you know, beginning of next year or into, you know, February, March, that's where we start competing again on the world stage, which usually is, you know, cheapest price wins. And I think the market continues to look at that. And that's why we're not really seeing a whole lot of activity there in the 2026 months.
Zach Bauer is joining us live on the Midwest Farm Report. He's one of the dairy analysts with EverAg, their website, again, ever.ag. I don't want to catch you flat-footed or anything, Zach, but I'm wondering, you know, we watch how product is moving. We had talked about kind of a, we'll say, lackluster holiday demand. We can't tell if it's lack of information from USDA, those reports that are critical, or if it's just malaise in the marketplace. This whole pending nightmare with the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program going away, does that weigh in at all on dairy product movement?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think that's a big deal in this market here is obviously the SNAP benefits are a big buyer of dairy products. So the question is, you know, how is that going to get funded going forward? Are they going to change the program? Obviously, there's been proposals made already by RFK and others of you know, cutting benefits, but then also supplementing with a food box style program that we saw in COVID. So there's a lot of questions surrounding that of how is it going to be funded going forward? Is it going to be the same? Are we going to see different styles of funding going forward once, you know, if and when we do see the government open back up? So as of right now, that's a huge demand loss if that goes away until the government opens back up. If they change things, it could be actually a huge demand gain because you could see, you know, more of a government bid for dairy products versus what the SNAP benefits are allowing right now. So huge, huge unknowns with that going on for sure right now.
I know that we generally shy away from government reports and any long-term implications. You mentioned RFK and the Make America Healthy Again. Dairy has actually found a little bit of favor with some of the initial plans we've heard from him, correct?
That's correct. I mean, they proposed MAHA boxes, which are essentially, you know, what we know as food box from COVID, which, you know, if we remember back to, you know, that time period, we were talking about almost $3 cheese because the government was in here buying, right? So dairy has definitely found a lot of favor there. Dairy, especially from the whey side of things, the protein side of things, not so much the MAHA, but more of the Ozempic fad has made, you know, the demand for protein and putting protein in everything. You know, Starbucks added it to their lattes. You've got protein popcorn, you know, you name it. Nowadays, they're trying to put protein on it. So that has been a huge development for the dairy industry, especially. And that's part of the reason the rally we've seen lately has been just that whey market. We went from 55-cent whey to 65-cent whey, which, you know, 1 penny in whey is 6 cents in class three. So we've added 60 cents to the class three market just on that whey move. And where these high protein whys are trading at, you know, these WPC 80s, basically commodity grade has to go to almost 90 cents before it doesn't make sense to make the WPC 80. So as of right now, that's been the shining star of the entire industry has been that whey market. Continue to see that the demand for that grow.
Well, and you mentioned about infrastructure. Even in Wisconsin, we are seeing a tremendous amount of investment in existing plants, new items in existing plants, and a lot of that is focused on that protein market. Help the non-farm consumer understand, Zach, that honestly, whey protein, you can dust it, you can flavor it. I mean, it can show up as an ingredient almost everywhere, to your point.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what they're doing. I mean, you got Pepsi now announcing, I think they're going to make a protein Propel water. You know, the Kardashians are doing their protein popcorn. I mean, yeah, it's almost like cheese is a byproduct at this point because, you know, all these processors are adding capacity because they want to get to that value stream of that whey product.
Zach Bauer joining us live on the Midwest Farm Report. Again, he's one of the dairy analysts with EverAg, their website, ever.ag. Always like to put that plug in there. Zach, we have kind of kept our pulse on what's going on with the holiday demand. I think you alluded to it on your opening comments. It may be kind of trickling out there on the edges, but it's definitely not what we've traditionally felt when it comes to holiday demand for dairy, correct?
Yeah, I mean, it came later than expected. I mean, I think a lot of us thought we were going to see some holiday demand start here in early to mid-September. We didn't feel that as of recently with what we've seen in the spot market for cheese. You know, seeing demand here in the 180s, I think that we've felt that that is the holiday demand finally stepping in here. So that's kind of the million-dollar question of is like, you know, how long is that going to last, right? We only got maybe a week or two more of holiday demand as, you know, they stock the shelves. And then once you're on the backside of that, this is where we start going into, you know, seasonally demand falls off. We don't really have any demand until, you know, maybe the Super Bowl, which is February for a day. Easter, there's a little bit of demand bump, but nothing like what we typically see for holidays. And then, you know, obviously, that's seasonally when milk production and milk components start picking up as well, too, right? Mm-hmm. So this is definitely a time where, you know, if we see the rally we want out of holiday demand, we want to start taking advantage of that.
I got to let you go, Zach. I'm sorry. Zach Maurer joining us on the Midwest Farm Report.
Finally, a voice for real news and great conversation in the Fox Valley, WISS.
Did you know that some of the bikers in the area are gathering to do something brand new this year for Halloween? Listen to this. It's Amanda with another new Wisco 411. And on Friday, October 31st, starting at 4:30, meet up at the Jackson Street Quick Trip. Bring candy, arrive in your costume, decorate your bike for the first annual Halloween costume ride created by the Oshkosh Motorcycle Group, as they'll be passing out candy during Trick or Treat from 5 till 7 on Halloween. Check it out. Go to WISS.FM and click events.
Fixing grain bin problems safely today on Farm to Fork. As you've probably heard by now, the 12 agricultural safety and health centers around the country did receive a renewal of their federal funding support and will not be shutting down. Many of those centers had projects in progress, and those will now be able to continue. Also continuing the Ag Safety and Health Campaign on Farm to Fork. To learn how you can assist with that, visit the homepage at NorthShoreProductions.com. Tractor rollovers are one of the most common causes of farm deaths and injuries. One simple device helps reduce the danger significantly, a rollover protective structure. Standard on most new tractors, but they're also available to add to many older tractor models. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. It's not worth risking your life to fix a grain bin problem, yet farmers and farm workers continue to take risky steps where that's concerned. Dan Neenan of the National Education Center for Agricultural Safety in Piasta, Iowa.
Grain can get out of condition. When it gets out of condition, it's going to start getting moldy. And when it starts getting moldy, it's going to clump. And those clumps are going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. So remember that when the sump gets activated, it's going to pull grain straight down. Everything else is going to slough in. So if I've got chunks of grain up here and we turn that on, it's going to flow to the middle and drop down right on our sump. And if I've got those chunks of grain on my sump, grain's not going to flow through. That's why a farmer is going to get into the bin.
Neenan tells farmers that they and their employees need to post and follow strict safety procedures when anyone is going into a grain bin.
They think it's a pain, so they don't bother using it. So let's make it as easy for them as we possibly can to run the four gas monitor, to be able to do the permit, to have the lockout tag out right there for them. Okay, let's not give them something that it's too hard, you know, or it's going to take too much time.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Dr. Kristen Lierley.
She's a chef, a bartender, and a state rep, calling herself the wild card in Wisconsin's governor race. Meet Francesca Hahn.
The Dr. Kristen Lierley Show, Saturdays and Sundays at noon.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced, also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2033. At the Recombobulation Area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is, and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This is WISS Berlin-Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein-Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The war in Ukraine intensifying overnight. Ukrainian officials say Russia launched one of its largest attacks of the war. More than 700 drones and missiles fired across nearly all of Ukraine. President Trump says a deal with China has been brokered for trade during a sit-down with Chinese leader Xi Jinping on the sidelines of the APEC summit in South Korea. On Air Force One afterwards, the president said,
"We have a deal. Now every year we'll renegotiate the deal, but I think the deal will go on for a long time."
SNAP federal food assistance serving 42 million Americans set to run out of money on Saturday. Democrats still holding out for a continuation of subsidies to help millions of Americans pay for health care. Republicans say they'll discuss it, but only after the government reopens. At least 30 more people were killed across the Caribbean as Hurricane Melissa swept through, and five more people arrested overnight in connection with the Louvre crown jewel heist. This is ABC News.
Know what's happening in your community.